Hey, well, I am excited to share with you guys this topic this week about a gift that no one wants. And before I start with that, I want to tell you about my wife's family. When it comes to Christmas, my wife's family does Christmas really big. And when we go, there's lots of presents, and they're really into it, and it's awesome. And then there's my family, okay? And my extended family, we get together after Christmas, and we will kind of do the thing, well, hey, let's just get each other like a $15 gift. And so it's typically like a gift card or something like that. And you don't really, you know, when we're at my wife's family, we're always really excited about going. Then we get to mine, we're like, that'll be cool. And so we're having, I remember one time we're exchanging gifts. And I looked, and most of the time it's a gift card, but I saw this gift for me. And I thought, well, it's a little bit bigger. And so I unwrapped this gift, and it was a set of Husky 103-piece ratcheting screwdriver set, okay? Now, if you knew how not of a handyman I am, if you knew that, you would think this is the most ridiculous gift for Braun. And so when I got the gift, I remember opening it, I was going, oh, it's a screwdriver set. And I thank you guys so much. And I remember thinking, I'm going to put this on my workbench in the garage, and it will just collect dust, and it will never be opened, okay? And so I put it out on my workbench, and I remember just thinking, that's the gift no one wants. And then I asked some of my leaders, I said, how many of you guys have had a gift maybe that you got that you weren't super excited about? This is the spaghetti, and it's a spaghetti. You take vegetables, and you make noodles out of it. If you have this and you use it at home, don't tell anybody. Okay, and so somebody said, he goes, I loved it so much, I just kept it in the package as a nice tribute to vegetable noodles. And I had another leader tell me, he said, he goes, when I was a young kid, one of my relatives got me a National Geographic magazine subscription. And I was like, what every little kid wants, a National Geographic, there's some tough pictures in there. And so that was that. And then I remember as a young boy, my aunt and uncle would come with my cousins, and they got me a pair of dress socks. And as a little kid, you're like, they're dress socks. Awesome. And so I can just remember these gifts that you get sometimes, and they're kind of the gift that no one wants. And I was thinking about this for you and for me. One of the gifts that I think the Lord gives us through the body of Christ is a gift called admonishment. Okay? Now. Everybody goes, oh, I love admonishment. Everybody love admonishment? It's really fun. Well, but let me tell you something. I want to encourage you because, first of all, let me define admonishment for you. Admonishment is to advise or urge someone earnestly. Here's some words that are synonyms for it. Recommend, to urge, to caution, to warn, to counsel, to exhort, to implore, maybe even rebuke. We love that biblical word, don't we, when someone rebukes us. And here's why I think this is important, that you would begin to see admonishment different, because here's what I believe, is that when we receive admonishment, it can be one of the greatest gifts to us because it's a way that God might want to shape you to be more like his son. And wouldn't that be a gift if God would use others to do that? In my 26 years of ministry, And now my time with single adults, one thing I've realized is the older I get, sometimes the less teachable I become. And I don't think that's a biblical thing. I think it's a pride thing. And so my encouragement to you tonight is to begin to think about admonishment differently. Here's what I want to ask you. Do you guys have friends maybe in your life right now that you're avoiding because maybe they shared some hard truth with you? They shared something that was maybe hard to hear, but it was true, and you just, man, all of a sudden you were like, I don't want to see that person because they hurt me, or it kind of hurt that they shared that truth, hold my calls. And so I just want you to think about that. Has that caused you to move away from relationships? And I want to encourage you that maybe you ought to think about that a little differently, because the scripture gives us a different picture of what admonishment can look like. There's an old saying, you can't teach an old dog what? New tricks. And I don't know about you, I feel like an old dog. I mean, things are rough, you know, I'm getting older. But here's the thing, I don't want to be a person that is unteachable for the rest of my life. I want people to be able to speak into my life and share things with me and me ask the Lord, Lord, what's true about that? What do you have for me? Because I think this person's trying to love me enough to tell me something that maybe I can't see. There's these things called blind spots. There's spots that we can't see. And there's others in our life that may go, hey, I don't know if you can see this, but this is kind of what I feel like I'm seeing. And the Spirit of the Lord is in them, and the Spirit of the Lord is in me, and God may use that to convict me, and it could be a great gift. So I really want to encourage you to think differently. So here's what we're going to talk about tonight. Three things. We're going to ask you to see, one, admonishment as a gift. Okay, the second thing is why we don't see it as a gift. And then the third thing is how we can begin to see admonishment differently. All right, so let me start with admonishment being a gift. Let's look at Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 here. It says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Okay, then look at this verse in Psalm 141, 5. It says, let a righteous man strike me, it is kindness. Let him rebuke me, for it's oil for my head, and let my head not refuse it. Do y'all see some great words in there? Better is open rebuke. If someone would rebuke you openly, then hidden love and hide it. Okay? The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So if I'm doing something over and over that you guys see in me, or a friend sees in me that is dishonoring to Christ, or is selfish, or is for my own selfish gain, or whatever it is, what I need people to do in my life is show me maybe what I can't see. And it might wound me, it might be hard to hear, but I want friends like that. And I'm going to tell you some examples in my life where I've seen people do that, and it has shaped me, and it's made me more like Christ. And I pray it continues. So admonishment is a gift. It's oil on my head. The oil in the Old Testament, when they would put oil on people, it was to symbolize them being set apart for the purposes of God. See, I think admonishment can be a way that God shapes and chisels and prunes and can be a great thing for us if we would see it that way. See, here's what I want to say. The second thing I want to talk about tonight is why we don't see admonishment as a gift. And here's some things I thought about is that we don't see admonishment as a gift potentially because it's uninvited and it's surprising. Okay, we didn't set up. Isn't it funny, though? Think about all the things you do ask to be admonished for. Okay, if you might have a financial planner. You might have somebody say, hey, they're helping you with your budget. And you go, hey, would you help me kind of, I'm struggling with my budget. And they'll tell you, hey, you need to do this. Hey, you're eating out too much. And the reason your budget is so messed up is because you eat out four times a week. And it's hurting you. And so we would say, oh, thanks for helping me. We might go to the gym and we're working with a trainer. Obviously, I don't. But if you did go to the gym and you're working with a trainer, they might say, hey, guess what? You keep eating Twinkies and you work out for 5 minutes on the cardio here and it's not going to go well. My son calls me Mr. Elliptical because that's about all I do. I don't ever lift. I'm over there doing this and they make fun of me. And so we'll ask for people to admonish. We'll think, you're loving me. You're helping me. You're helping me want to be it better. We have tax guys that help us figure that stuff out. We ask for counsel and admonishment and help me do this well on a lot of things. But when it comes to personal things or when it comes to somebody shaping us, maybe where it's a little painful or to be more like Christ, it's like we don't want that. And I was thinking about some other things that come in. It could produce shame in us, or maybe we feel judged, or maybe we like to throw that word around, or maybe we feel like we're being talked down to. And what I want to encourage you with tonight is that you would change the way you think about when somebody comes and shares something maybe that's wounding, because the wounds of a friend can be trusted, but they're really trying to love you. I was thinking about this with my community group. For years, when I was doing student ministry, I was going in the fall and I would go teach at a weekend retreat, and then we'd take students on retreats, and then I would go do this Johnny and Chachi thing, and we can talk about that another time. And I would do this stuff, and I was really busy in the fall, and what I realized is one day, I was sharing that with my community group, and I said, man, I'm just really stressed, and I'm tired, and I'm just kind of feeling burned out. And they just said, hey, can I tell you something? One of the couples in my community group said, I think we come to the same spot every year. And I was like, well, no, see, I'm just doing this stuff, I'm doing this retreat, and I'm speaking, and they go, yeah, I know, we're coming to the same spot every year because, Bron, you're letting your schedule run your life. And you're worn out. You know, and that's the definition of sanity, when we do the same thing over and over and we expect a different outcome. And so I love the fact that they love me enough to go, hey, this is what I'm seeing, and I think I'm seeing a pattern here, and it's hurting you, it's costing you, it's making you impatient with your kids. You're not as kind to your wife as you should be. You're not as engaged with us. And I thought, man, my first reaction was, no, wait, that can't be right. And then I went, that's true. And I'm so thankful that they admonished me, that they challenged me and said, what they could have said is, oh, just keep doing what you're doing, Bron. It's for the Lord, and you're doing great. I hope it goes. That would have been an enemy multiplying kisses. But the wounds of a friend to go, hey, what you're doing is not wise, and we're going to try to help you think about that. And I'm really thankful that they called me on that. I think what we often do when someone admonishes us is we want to strike back. And we get in a place that's not healthy. I'll tell you a story. When I was in ninth grade, I'd moved to the beautiful city of Yukon, Oklahoma. If you haven't been there, it's amazing. And it's 15 minutes outside of Oklahoma City, lush, beautiful land, kind of like Colorado. No, it's nothing like that. And I moved to UConn, and I remember in the fall, I was in off-season basketball, and we were kind of doing all the, you know, getting in shape thing. And there was a guy named Roger in my gym class, and Roger had this long hair, real thick hair, and he was a big boy, and I was like, Roger, don't mess with Roger. And I remember the next day we were having pictures. For some reason, I guess we were really struggling to find something to put in the yearbook. You take pictures of the off-season group. And so we're in there, and I remember Roger came that day, and he had buzzed his hair completely off. And I thought I was pretty funny. And so, and Roger was really big. And Roger was standing in front of me, and we're taking the picture. I said, hey, Roger, nice hair. Okay. Well, Roger turned around, faced me like this, and he went, and hit me as hard as he could in the chest. I was like, thank you, Roger. And I remember I became Mickey Mouse all of a sudden, and there was really nothing I could do about it. I was like, Roger's really big, and I probably deserve that. And I was thinking about that for us. Sometimes when people share something, even if they're doing in a loving, kind way, then they're trying to share a truth with you. They might even say something like, hey, could I tell you something? I think I see this sometimes, and I just feel like I need to encourage you with this, or I need to challenge you here, because I believe you want to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. And I think this is maybe hurting the name of Christ, or maybe this is costing you with people. And it's a gift when you look at it that way. And so instead of being like Roger and striking back when somebody does that, I want you to think about, what if you responded differently when somebody is loving you enough to say something that might be hard to hear? I'm going to give you a video example of this. There's a guy named Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck's a quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And Andrew Luck has an amazing thing that he does. When he takes a hit from a defensive end or somebody that comes in, if he gets sacked, watch the way he responds. Let's watch this.
Welcome to Andrew Luck's guide on how to be a polite quarterback. If they hit you hard, say, good job.
That's it, big man. Oh, hey, nice hit, buddy. Oh, nice hit, man.
Make sure they know how much you appreciate their tackle.
Good hit, big boy.
And it never hurts to throw in a compliment.
Yeah, buddy, good hit.
If you really mean it.
Hey, you're a menace out there, boy.
It's the quarterback who can take a whack and smile right back.
Good job, boy. Nah, you're fine, man. It's football, you know what I mean?
That is really winning.
Isn't that great? I love it because these guys are just putting a pummeling on him. And he's like, nice hit, man. Wait, whoa, boy, you're awesome. And I love their response. Did you notice the response? That guy's like, oh, thanks, man. You know, we're all friends here. You know, it's so great. And I want you to think about that when it comes to what if somebody is putting a hit on you, but they're doing it, I want you to think differently about it. They're doing it as a loving thing. What if they're trying to help you? Because I think that's what the scripture's talking about. Instead of it being a gotcha, it's a gift. Instead of it being a penalty to you, it's a present to you. That they would love you enough to say maybe something that's hard to hear. So I want you to think about this idea. I've got this sifter up here. And I'd love to say I'm a gardener or something like that, and I really get this, but it's a good analogy, okay? And I want you to think about this, is that if you have a sifter, what you do is the soil goes through this, and anything that shouldn't be in that soil, like rocks or trash or that kind of thing, stays in the sifter. And I want you to think about when people share something with you, if they say, hey, can I share something with you? I just want you to take before the Lord, think about this. When they do, you ought to let that sifter work, and whatever stays in there, you ought to go to the Lord and just go, Lord, is there something, is this true? And you ought to find some other truth tellers in your life who will really love you, not the person that goes, you've never done anything wrong. I don't know, you're great. Okay? They might say, you know what? I think that's true sometimes. And I'm going to pray for you, and I love that you're coming to me to ask me about it. But you left that sifter work, and whatever stays in there, sit with the Lord with it. Go to some people who love you and go, hey, is that, do you see that? And then tell them, don't tell them what I want to hear. Is that really true? I think you'll be blessed if you will. And so I'm going to use an acronym here because that's what great speakers do. They use an acronym, all right? And so I'm going to use the word sift, okay? And I want you to think about this. The S I want you to think about is that you would soak it up. You would have a posture of receiving when somebody comes to you that you know that's a real friend and somebody's beginning to challenge you. I would say, remember that oil on my head analogy. There was a girl that I worked with way back in Conway when I was doing K-Life, and she, her name's Christy, and Christy one time was sitting with me, and she goes, hey, can I tell you something? And I said, yeah. And she said, I think it's sometimes really hard for you to give people a second chance. And I said, wow, that's not very Christ-like because my God is a God of second chances. And I said, thank you for telling me that. I don't want to come across, and I don't want to be that guy, and I want the Lord to work on me. But my response was, and let me ask you this, will Christy come again next time if that's the way I respond? Yes, and I want her to, because she is a follower of Christ, and the Spirit of the Lord's in her, and she was loving me and helping me see what I couldn't see. And so I've thought about that to this day. I'm using it in this talk tonight because she cared enough about me to say, hey, I think sometimes you have a hard time. And so when I am tempted to leave somebody where I first met them or the first impression, I'm reminded of her words, and I think God has used that in my life. So I want to soak up that. There's a guy on my team that was on my student ministry team named Harrison Ross. Harrison was a guy that I could go and I could challenge him. I could admonish him. I could say, hey, here's an area that I think you could grow in. And you know what? He would always thank me. He just said, hey, thank you, man. I believe you're trying to love me. And it was so great because you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to help that guy. And I wanted to model that for him. And I said, hey, you need to feel the freedom to speak into my life because I believe there's things I can't see. And I think there's times I'm going to hurt you and you need to admonish me to be more like Jesus. And you're loving me when you do that. You're showing me kindness. You're striking me, but it's a righteous man striking me and it's oil on my head. It's kindness to me. Second one is I, invite feedback. Okay? I did this with my wife this week, and man, she had lots of them. It's a little strange. I just said, Angie, what do I do sometimes to just kind of the old dog thing. What are my habits? A couple of them we talked about that are very revealing. I have this thing, and this is how guys think. Girls, you forgive us for this, but when we have clothes, we can kind of go, that's kind of like gently worn, and I don't know that it needs to go to the wash yet. And so I put it on the side of our room on my floor, and I go, I might come back to that. It might be fine. And so I'll set it over there, and I realize later on, I mean, it would be a lot of work to take those clothes 10 feet over there and put it in a what's called a laundry basket, but that'd be a lot of work. So I put my pile there, and then what I realize is as the week goes on, there's this bigger pile, and then eventually I'll go, oh, gosh, I got to take it. And I take it over to the laundry basket. And so we were talking about that kind of weird thing, and I was like, and really, it's not about the laundry. It's the fact that my wife would appreciate me picking up after myself, and it would be a blessing to her, and it's just kind of, I'm lazy, and I just go, I don't want to really do that. She reminded me, she said, Bron, when you leave the garage, when you pull out of the driveway, you wait till you get back in the alley to put the garage door down. If you do it right when we're leaving, you know, we wouldn't have to sit there and go, is it going to go down or not? I don't know. And then we go. And so she has to remind me. She goes, that's kind of weird. Just put it down right when we get in the car. I said, okay, it's a good example. And there have been times that she has admonished me in greater ways. There's been times that have been even more important with our kids where I've been impatient. Or she'll go, hey, I think you were you came across a little bit angry there, and it'd probably be a great idea for you to go and talk with them. She's loving me. She's loving me. And I'm thankful when she does that. I'm thankful when friends will do that with me. And so there have been plenty of times where the admonishment for my wife has been a good thing, and with friends. So I would ask you to think about, hey, someone that you really trust that knows you well. If you remember last week, Todd talked about the rhino, that cartoon where a rhino's coming out the guy's backside, and he goes, well, I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on. There's a rhino coming out your backside. And he just said, he was talking about this fact that, hey, there are things that people see and no one's willing to tell you. And so I don't want to have this thing that people are being unwilling, that they're not willing to come and say, hey, this is something I think I see. And they do it humbly, and I'll go, man, I want to pray through that. I want to respond to that in a good way. So here's the F in SIFT, is to fight defensiveness and insecurity. This is the one that's going to be so hard for you. It is for me. When somebody comes and if I'm not in a good place, and I'm not in that posture of soaking up and receiving, what I'll want to do is I'll want to get defensive. I want to get insecure. So I might say something like, well, you know, it's these other people's fault. That's the deal. It's, you know, if you knew what was going on with them, or, you know, I might say something like that. Or someone's challenging me, and then I go, well, that's what you do. You know, I was just thinking about that. And I might try to turn it back on them because I'm being defensive or insecure. And you know what's crazy when I do that is it typically will shut somebody down, and they're going, hey, I'm trying to do this in a loving way, and it's hard, and I've done that. I had one guy one time I was challenging him, and he said, well, I guess I missed that one with the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, you know, I said, I don't know, but I want you to take that before the Lord and ask him and let the Spirit convict you where he needs to convict you. That's the hard thing about admonishment is sometimes some things need to fall to the ground. But here's what I want to encourage you. The little phrase I would encourage you with is to make room. Could there be something true in this that they're trying to help me? Can I make room for that before the Lord? And I start there. If you'll start with that posture, a lot of times God may show you something. And it may even be that they didn't do it well, and we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about what's it look like to admonish in a way that's Christ-centered and loving and kind. That's important. But on the receiving side, here's what I'd ask you is the last time somebody did this with you, maybe shared something that was kind of hard to hear, would your response be, would it invite them back to come again when they see something else? Or would your response go, man, that was so hard. They were so mad. They got so defensive. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't go back, but it's harder, isn't it? So fight defensiveness and insecurity. The last thing on is T for SIFT is take note. Okay, and this idea of taking note about what the Lord might want to show you and what he has shown you, what he's told you. There's a guy named Kyle Kegler. You guys may know Kyle. Kyle's our Plano campus pastor. And I remember one time with Kyle, same kind of thing. I was sitting with him, and he said, "Hey, Bron, I want to challenge you with something." He said, "Sometimes when I'm challenging you or I'm critiquing you or I'm admonishing you," he said, "I feel like I'm walking on eggshells." These are things I remember, and I just thought, oh, man. And this is what I said to Kyle that day. I said, "Kyle, I don't want that because I believe you have good things to teach me, and I don't want to come across that way. Can you tell me what I'm specifically doing that's maybe making you feel that way? Because I don't think that's a good thing. I want to be someone that the Lord shapes and prunes and changes. I don't think I've arrived, and I hope none of us do." And so it was important for me to say to Kyle and to write that down and take note of those things. Hey, here's what's funny. The first thing that I told you about these drill bits, I want to tell you the story about this. I have used this a lot. It's really true. I thought I would never use it. I put it on my workbench and I go, "I'm not going to use a bunch of drill bits and a screwdriver." You wouldn't believe how many times something was loose and I go, "I need a flathead or I need a Phillips." That's pretty technical stuff, guys. Sorry. So I remember seeing it, and I'd go out and I'd see this incredible plethora of nice, you know, screwdriver bits, and I would go and I'd screw something in, and Angie would go, "Way to go, you're a man." And I would, and so I have used this like crazy. It was the gift that I thought would be worthless, and it's been a great gift. I want you to consider tonight what the scripture says about admonishment, that you ought to see it as a great gift to you. You ought to look at it different. What you think may be worthless, it could be such a gift if you will use the sifter analogy that we talked about. I think about this as I wrap up. I'm thankful that Christy talked to me about giving people second chances, because when I see people now, I want to see them. I have to remember the gospel, the God, the Savior, Jesus Christ, and God the Father gave me an incredible second chance and third chance and fourth chance, that I've been forgiven much. And so I think about that. When I think about what Kegler said to me, I go, "Lord, help me not to be so sensitive that I don't maybe understand, or I'm not sharpened. This one, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And there's some sparks there, and it could be kind of hard, but I don't want to miss out on the way God may use others, that he might use a brother or a sister in Christ to help shape me." So I want to be open to that. Here's what I want to tell you. The people in this room, if we could move to a place where we come in here and we get over this feeling of like that we think we've got to have it all together. If we get over that, and because here's the thing, we all know we don't have it together. And the only thing that holds us together is Jesus and the Spirit that's in us because of this great gift God gave us. So if we could walk in greater security, and as we have friends who are really walking with us, that we could have a posture of, "Hey, I want you to help me. I want you to see things, and I want you to love me enough in a humble way to maybe challenge me and see how the Lord works through that." See, here's the thing. Humility looks good on anyone. And what keeps us a lot of times from having this posture of receiving is pride or insecurity. And I hope that we will be people, as we share life with each other, that we'll begin to really encourage each other, spur each other. And it's both and. It's not just admonish. It's encourage. But I think both those can be loving, and both those are a biblical thing. So let me pray that the Lord would help us to do that. Father, thank you for my friends here. I thank you for Christy and my community group, and I thank you for Kyle Kegler, and I thank you for many others who you've used to shape me, Lord. They have maybe given me a strike. They've striked me, but Lord, it has been kindness because you used it to shape me and make me more like the Savior, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Spirit's work through others and the way that you have worked in and through others to to make me more like Christ. Lord, I pray that you continue to do that. I pray that each of us would have this posture of, I want to soak up when others are loving me that way. I want to invite them to do that. I don't want to be defensive, Lord, and I want to take note of it so that I could be a reflection more and more of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you humble us? Would you help us to love each other? Would you help us to live in a way where we see admonishment as a gift? Thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.